In a world that silenced black voices, the UNIA built its own megaphone. The Negro World wasn't just a newspaper, it was a weapon. Banned in colonies, smuggled in crates, read behind closed doors, its words crossed oceans. It taught history erased by slavery. It exposed the lies of empire. It gave black people from Panama to Nigeria a reason to raise their heads. In three languages and across four continents, it said, "We are not who they say we are." The Negro World didn't just report the news. It rewrote the story of a people who refused to be forgotten. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite platform so you never miss a story. The Negro World, controlling the narrative. When truth is illegal, printing it becomes a revolutionary act. It started with ink and ended with fire. In the hands of the UNIA, a newspaper became more than just paper. It became a weapon, a bridge, a mirror, a lifeline. It was called the Negro World, and through it, the black diaspora learned to see itself, not through the eyes of empire, but through its own. Before radio, before television, before the internet, there was the press. In the 1920s, the newspaper was the most powerful tool of information, and the most dangerous. Whoever controlled the press controlled the perception of reality. The UNIA understood that, and so it created its own reality. One printed in three languages, shipped across oceans, and passed from hand to hand in whispers. The Negro World was first published in 1918. Edited by leaders like Amy Jacques Garvey, it quickly became the ideological heartbeat of the movement. Not only did it report UNIA activities, it taught black history, amplified African culture, advocated for women's rights, and denounced colonial propaganda. It was printed weekly in English, Spanish, and French, so that whether you lived in Harlem, Haiti, Honduras, or Nigeria, you could hold the same truth in your hands. The newspaper featured everything from international news, political editorials, poems, cultural essays, letters from readers, and profiles of black scientists, philosophers, and rebels. In its pages, readers saw the continent of Africa not as a pitiful colony, but as a majestic homeland. They saw blackness not as a burden, but as a badge of dignity. But the paper's greatest strength? It unified a people scattered by empire. It gave them a shared voice. And for that, it became a target. Banned truths. By the early 1920s, the Negro World was officially banned in over a dozen British and French colonies, including Trinidad, Jamaica, Kenya, Sierra Leone, and Nigeria. The colonial authorities didn't fear guns. They feared literacy. They feared that one paragraph, one headline, one poem could be enough to light a fire in the minds of the colonized. So they called the newspaper dangerous, seditious. They arrested those caught with it. They raided homes, ports, and barbershops to stop it from entering. But the black world is no stranger to smuggling survival. Dock workers hid issues inside flour sacks and molasses barrels. Sailors sewed them into coats. Preachers tucked copies behind altar cloths. In sugarcane fields, enslaved descendants read the editorials aloud like scripture. In the hills of Jamaica and the coast of Ghana, young men passed it like contraband wisdom. The more the world tried to silence it, the louder it grew. A voice of many tongues. What made the Negro World so effective was its multilingual strategy. Spanish editions circulated heavily in Cuba, Panama, and Central America. French editions reached Haiti, Senegal, and Martinique. And English editions spread from Harlem to Nova Scotia, from Belize to Sierra Leone. This wasn't coincidence. It was strategy. The UNIA knew its movement was global, and so its voice had to be global too. It wasn't just speaking to one nation. It was speaking to a nation without borders. A people separated by ocean, but united by memory. And that voice didn't just tell stories. It rewrote them. The power of the pen. Inside each issue, you could find political commentary on African independence, reports from local UNIA divisions around the world, essays on self-reliance and economic control, women's columns advocating for leadership and education, poetry from diasporic writers and schoolchildren, messages from the Provisional Government of Africa, anti-lynching coverage ignored by white newspapers, cartoons mocking colonial rulers and uplifting black power. The Negro World turned ordinary people into journalists, historians, thinkers, and organizers. It made readers more than consumers. It made them citizens of a coming black future. And it did all this without advertising from white businesses, without endorsement from governments, and without approval from polite society. It was funded by black hands, powered by black minds, and written for black eyes. The woman behind the pages. One of the most significant editors of the Negro World was Amy Jacques Garvey, a fierce intellectual and strategist. She was not merely a publisher's wife. She was a powerhouse. Amy Jacques introduced a women's section called Our Women and What They Think, a revolutionary addition in a time when most liberation movements still sidelined female voices. She championed issues of black motherhood, womanhood, and community leadership. Through her editorial leadership, the newspaper became a vehicle not just for political awakening, but for gender balance within the black liberation discourse. The paper that couldn't be erased. The Negro World continued publishing into the 1930s, long after other organizations folded under government pressure. Its physical copies were sometimes burned, its distributors arrested, its editors harassed, but its impact could never be imprisoned. It changed how people saw themselves. It taught black children that their history didn't begin with chains. It taught their parents that they didn't need permission to imagine greatness. And it taught the world, with every banned issue, every smuggled edition, every whisper behind plantation doors, that the black voice would never again be silent. Final reflection. They say the victors write history. But what happens when the oppressed print it themselves? The Negro World was the printing press of a revolution. It didn't ask for permission. It didn't wait for validation. It simply told the truth, over and over, until that truth became too big to ignore. The UNIA didn't just fight for land. It fought for the narrative. Because whoever tells the story controls the future.